Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very severe objection which is generally raised against Islamic punishments is that it is said that these are barbaric punishments. They are very severe punishments. And how is it possible that the Almighty, who is merciful, who is compassionate, who is gracious, he would punish criminals by having them flogged or having their hands amputated or by chopping off their limbs in opposite directions, as is the case in certain punishments which have been specified by the Quran. Now, this misconception, I would say, has arisen because the whole matter has not been placed in its proper perspective. If we place this whole matter in its proper perspective, and if we study these punishments as they are mentioned in the Quran, two important things come to mind immediately. The first of these is that these punishments, they are extreme forms of reproof. They are extreme forms of punishment. They are to be given only and only when a criminal deserves no lenience, and when the circumstances in which the crime is committed are such that the criminal deserves no lenience. In other words, it's not just the instance of a crime happening. It would entail that hands would be cut or amputated or criminals would be flogged immediately if they commit adultery. No, it's not that case. The whole issue must be studied in its proper perspective. The crime shall be studied and it will be seen. It shall be analyzed if the criminal deserves any leniences or not. And if he deserves any lenience in this regard, then he will be given lesser punishment than this. Now, as I said, that the way in this these crimes have been mentioned, these punishments have been mentioned in the Quran, it is evident from that very mention that these are the stipulations of the words of the Quran themselves. Now, we find very clear application of this principle in the times of the Prophet also, and in the times of the rightly guided Caliphate also. We know that in the times of the Prophet, the punishment of slave women who were kept chaste, and if they committed adultery, it was half that of what the actual punishment was. In the times of the Prophet, we know that slavery was rampant there. And if a slave lady was kept chaste, we know that generally slave women had inferior morals. And in spite of being provided the protection of their masters and their husbands, if their husbands and their masters were able to keep them chaste, and even then if they committed adultery, then their punishment was not the same extent. They were to be punished by half the amount of flogs. They were to be flogged 50 times. And a reference to this is found clearly in the Quran, where it says, فَإِذَا أُحْسِنَّا فَإِنْ أَتَيْنَا بِفَاهِشَةٍ فَعَلَيْهِنَّا نِصْفُ مَا عَلَى الْمُحْسَنَاتِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. Then when they are kept chaste in this manner and they commit fornication, their punishment is half that of free women. So it is absolutely evident that criminals who are foolish or who are insane or who are compelled by their circumstances, for example, or who are not provided with the necessary protection which protects them, which shields them from such instances of crimes, then in such cases, the punishment shall not be given in its ultimate form. Another example which can be found in our early period is in the time of the Caliph Umar, Raziyallahu ta'ala anhu. We know that in his times there was a severe drought. And in that particular instance, in that particular year, we know that there was a case which came before the Prophet, before the Caliph Umar. And in that particular case, that person had stolen something. And the Caliph Umar refused to have his hands amputated because he thought that since it was a drought, and since that person had been compelled because of his circumstances to steal, this punishment cannot be enforced upon him. And he should be given lenience, he should be treated with lenience, he should be given some concession on this. So it is absolutely clear that Umar Raziyallahu ta'ala anhu never abrogated his punishment as some people think or they stipulate. Actually he rightly thought, in as the Quran itself says, that such punishments or the amputation of hand is a punishment which has to be given only and only when the criminal deserves no lenience. In this particular case, he was compelled by circumstances to steal and therefore he refused to have his hands cut. So it can be said that the first stipulation is that these punishments, Islamic punishments, are extreme forms of reproof. They are to be given only and only when the criminal deserves no lenience and when the circumstances in which he has committed the crime are such in which he deserves no concession. The second important point is that even when the Islamic punishments are given, of course they have to be given when the criminal deserves no lenience, even then if you think that they are very, very severe, then one has to realize that these punishments, one objective of these punishments is also to act as deterrents. Now, wherever such punishments are found in societies, they are enforced in societies, we find that in such societies, crimes have become very low, simply because these punishments also act as deterrents. So if these two facts are analyzed and reviewed, one can easily say that this objection does not arise. Firstly, these punishments are extreme forms of reproof. And secondly, whenever they are administered, if they are found to be severe, then this severity is such to make them deter, to make them act as deterrents of any further occurrence of such crimes. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ